John mentioned social media. I lost all my accounts, got kicked off everything. That's not a good untruth to sit down to this morning, but I did get an article this week of where our government is starting truth. They're looking after us so that we don't say the wrong thing. And you know where that's headed. It's headed to the church house. Right now it's in political divide, but it's headed to the church house. And we will be accused of hate speech, which is the furthest thing from the truth. But they do not want to hear about God. And they're doing all they can to get God completely out of the picture. Been doing a pretty good job, but that's only because the Lord has permitted it. But that will end one day. The Lord's coming back. Gather His people and destroy the wicked. And you're in one of those two camps. There's no third, no middle. One of those two. Well, would you turn with me to Isaiah? No, I'm sorry. That's later. Malachi, last book in the Old Testament. Third chapter. And we shall from here go to the 14th chapter of John, back to Isaiah, and then to the 15th chapter of John. So when we leave John, just keep your place there, because we're coming back. Malachi chapter number 3. And I only want to read verse number 6. Very familiar to all. And speak to you about the unchanging God. He cannot change. Would you pray with me? Our Father, in your mercy and in your grace, you've given us another opportunity together to sing praises to Thee and to the Lamb of God. Another opportunity to open the book. And it is this that will judge us. Give us a good understanding herein. Open hearts to receive. And may you, O God, be exalted high above everything, higher than the difficulties of life in these minds here and others, higher than anxiousness, trouble, so that everything about us is quietened as we see Thee. And of course, that's only possible, Father, because of the Lord Jesus. Exalt Him and bless the Word to your children. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Verse number 6, Malachi 3, I am the Lord, I change not. Now that's the one thing that will ensure all the children being forever with Him. God not changing. And because of that, He said, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Paul said, Hebrews 1, thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail thee. Hebrews 13, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Nothing in our lives is stable. In our world, in our country, and in the churches, change everywhere about us. It is right now what it won't be for in nature, in the physical realm, it will be worse tomorrow than today, much more so in a year from now, the Lord tarrying. That is, all those outside Christ. In Him, we, as an individual, we as a church, will not be what we are, but we will continue to be changed. We are becoming faithful, more faithful, dedicated, and yet going to a greater dedication to the Lord. Being made holy, but we will be holier than what we are today. The love of God will be greater. Not that it can increase, but you can know more about it. We will be being changed, and our country shall continue to change. And they will continue on the path of wickedness, worse and worse as times pass. Wars, rumors of wars, destruction. It's all about you. And if it was not for this one definite, fixed, unchanging certainty, none of us would have any hope. As you sing sometimes, from every stormy wind that blows, from every swelling tide of woes, there is a calm, a sure retreat. God, the mercy seat, lifted above things. Now there is in our world all the planets and everything therein, but there is a fixed position, a fixed star, over the North Pole. And it appears that every other star is moving and changing, except the star of David in our world. Our God is unchanging. It is impossible that he would do so. He was not this powerful being that created man and the world a few thousand years ago. But he's exerted so much energy that he is less powerful today because time has diminished some of his strength. Man develops from a helpless infant to maximum power as an adult. Somewhere out there, you younger folks will reach that. And from that point, there is a downward path from strength to weak to weaker. As the Lord tarries, possibly even someone caring for you. God is not. We as individuals, we gain wisdom through factual knowledge, and we learn how to apply that knowledge, and that's wisdom. But in God, His wisdom is the same now as always it was. How can He, that is all wise, increase? Can he be wiser one day? Satan has greatly increased in his wisdom since he first tempted our foreparents. The Son of God did grow in wisdom, as does man, but as far as God, it is impossible of any change. If you think that God can change, explain to me how it works. Does he go from what he was or what he is to what he will be greater one day? Or does he go from that perfect being to a state of still perfect but not as perfect as he was? Has God aged with time like we? What of the love of God? Did the love of God begin the day you were born into His family? Or is there any attribute of God that has a beginning point? Anything about God? That did begin in time? Or has the love of God always been set on a people? But now, in your Christian life, there's been such growth and such development and such conformity to the will of God that He loves you more today than He did before you ever got here? No. It's all been the same. What about my conformity to His will? What about my dedication? Didn't change the love of God. It didn't increase. And you parents love the little infant. But doesn't your love increase as the personality, his or her personality, begins to emerge with traits of father and of mother, and yet he or she still has his own distinct personality? Isn't that the way it is in life? I have one that has an inferiority complex. And I can't do anything about it, so I've left it alone. He thinks that my love is different from the other two. I don't know if he actually believes that. There's a possibility that he might because of that in his head. And I hope if one day there might be in the providence of God a chance that he hears this after my departure, hopefully he will have matured enough to accept what I said as absolute fact. We love each for who they are. Our Lord took three on the Mount of Transfiguration. Did that mean that they were loved more than those that he left at the base of the mountain? Or was it because he just had a different ministry for them? Or what about this? Several times, that disciple whom Jesus loved. I have no problem with it. If he loves him more, and I see why that there is that possibility of that dedicated disciple. But if I'm loved less, then that's fine with me. I'll take the back seat in glory. There was a time when Whitfield and who were the two other boys? Preachers. Wesley, Mo Wesley, raised 17. And they had a disagreement about doctrine. And so they separated. And as Whitfield was nearing the end of his life, some asked him, "Don't you think, or do you think that you will see the Wesleys in glory?" They were trying to trap him. He said, "No, I don't think I will see them." And those men thought, "Oh, we've got him now." Whitfield went on to say, "They will be so up front and close to Jesus that I won't ever be able to see him." So if God loves others with a greater degree, that's fine. I'm glad to be in the family. Just knowing that this God could actually love someone like me. Was John loved more? I don't know. It may be that John put himself in a better situation for the heart of Christ to be manifested to him. That's possible. Don't know. Look with me to John 14 now. And see if you can get here in mind. Some of you have not got your hearts engaged yet. See if the Lord will enable you to do so. John 14:21. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." If he or she loves me, this seems to suggest that they then will be loved of Christ and of His Father. God loved all His children forever, from all times. Though that love is eternal, the children will know nothing about it until faith and repentance has its work in your heart. Because God is unchanging, His power, His grace, His mercy, His love, His holiness, His justice are today what they always have been. And if these are unchanging, because God doesn't undergo any change, can anybody put a finger on a time these attributes began? Was there a starting point? Was it after you were born? Was it after you were born again and God looked in your heart and He said, well, that he or she loves me, so now the Father will love him. The Son will now love him. No. These things had no beginning. No point in time when the love of God did not exist. None. Or the mercy of God. Or the love of God. Or the holiness of God. He always was what He is. And He is what He always will be. So God being eternal and unchanging, that means nothing about God. No attribute. Nothing has a beginning in God or an ending. Unlike several different Christian groups in the Arminian camp that teach man can lose his salvation. We say it's impossible. Impossible. If he can lose it, what about the love of God changing due to the weakness of my flesh? And I stumble and fall, and God stopped then loving. And so I got to get saved again. I've talked with some that have been saved several times. No, I didn't talk with them. I listened. Now, I do know some. Do know several that could not put their finger on the point in time, place in time where God saved them. They just believe that they are now saved. Those I can communicate with. But these that have made the love of God as such that He will stop loving, quit loving, no. But then what about the weakness of my flesh as a Christian? What about the inconsistencies in my life, day after day? Or what about me striving to do right, and there's always failures mixed in with me doing right? Or what about going through the day? Little are no thought or thoughts of God. You lay your head on your pillow at night and you remember, I haven't thanked the Lord for the day. I haven't asked the Lord for guidance. I have not sought the Lord. Did that change the heart of God towards you? Or, when you take His mercy and His love and His kindness for granted, and you just begin to live your life, don't you think then that the love of God could be affected? No. It is impossible. I am the Lord, I change not. Now you're sitting there and some of you are thinking, well, what about David and David's sins of adultery and murder and trying to cover it up? What about that? Didn't change the love of God. What about Peter denying these grievous, wicked sins as they are had no effect upon God as far as God changing? Now, some are going to say, well, preacher, you just have given people the liberty to go live and do as they please because whatever they do, it won't affect God. You just said it's all right to sin because God doesn't change. God forbid that you think or abuse His love, His grace, or His mercy, though God is unchanging. Because He loves to the degree He loves, that will bring the judgment of God upon any erring child. David lost that little infant. May have been up around 9 months old, I don't know. David had a daughter that was forced to lie with her half-brother. David had a son that murdered his half-brother because of Tamar, his sister. And then another rebelled to the point of taking the crown and the kingdom from David. And the sword never left his house. Now you think it's okay to sin? Just look at David. David lost spiritual discernment. Wasn't like it was before he sinned. And the servant Ziba that David had made to wait upon and look after Mephibosheth, David's best friend's son. Ziba came when David was fleeing and David asked about Mephibosheth. Oh no, he's back there rejoicing. And David took Mephibosheth's possessions and gave them to Ziba. I cannot figure out why, what went wrong. When David found out the truth of Mephibosheth, I don't understand why David didn't make it all right then. I don't know. But David had no discernment about these things. What about the innumerable kindnesses of our Lord to you, His child? What about the abuse of His love? Or your path to sin? Didn't change God, but God will change you. About that. Now hold your place there and turn with me to Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54, verse number 10. No matter what a child does, and God help you if you want to try this out to see if I'm telling the truth, and you go out and commit sin, willful sin. Isaiah 54:10, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. David's gone. When Isaiah writes this about the Lord. But David knew about it. God might destroy everything around. Is bringing such devastation on us as a nation. And as a church, we struggle just to keep a spiritual mind about things. No matter how low you get, my kindness shall not depart from thee. Now, do you think that David was aware of the kindness of God or of the love of God when he committed his sins? No. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, Exodus 4. All right, you keep giving me these excuses why you can't go. To the point that the Lord's anger was kindled. Do you think that at that time Moses was aware of the Lord's kindness? God said he would never take it from him or you. Or what about the time when God hides his face from his children? You have no awareness of the kindness of God. It seems like the way life is turning out in certain situations that you are under the afflicting rod of God. Can it be so that God's heart can be changed just a degree? And that eternal love that he had for his children. Well, he's witnessed your walk through life and it's just not as it ought to be. You think that has affected the heart of God? What about Peter when he cursed and denied? Was he aware of the kindness or of the love of Christ at that time? No, no. But because Peter was loved, and because the Lord's kindness would never depart from him, Jesus turned and looked at him, looked upon him. And there was that in Peter's Lord's eyes that brought guilt and great sorrow, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. Aware of the kindness of God? I don't think so. But did the kindness of the Lord Jesus, did it change at Peter's denial of him? No. What about the men that beat Christ? Spit in his face, drove the spikes in his hands and feet, crowned him with that crown of thorns. Did they see anything in the Lord's face like Peter saw that brought them to repentance? No. God only looks after the children. And I repeat again, maybe again later, because I don't want to be misunderstood in this. The heart of God cannot change, but you can lose the heart of God being manifest toward you. The kindness of God is like the mountains around. They will depart, but His kindness won't. But you may lose any awareness of His kindness by careless living. If these things had no beginning in His children, no beginning in the heart of God, can they possibly have an ending? That'd mean God would change. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord thy God is in the midst of thee. He is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest. That little word has a great meaning. He will be silent in His love. Like a mother standing over the sink doing the dishes and watching her two little ones outside playing. Do you think that she looks upon them in anger? Standing there, they're so selfish. They never think about me. They could quit having a good time and laughing, and playing, and come in here and show me how they love me. Do you think that's in the mother's heart? No. Her love for them is sufficient. Doesn't matter what they do. She'll rest in her love for the children. Now, it might be that one day they return that love when they grow up and mature and have more of her heart expressed to them. But right now, she's just silent, resting in her love for her children. Verse we read a few moments ago in John 14, He that has the Lord's commandments and keepeth them, well, I will love him, and my Father will love him. That seems to indicate the love of God is dependent upon my obedience. No, God rests in His love, watching His children, not in sin, but just out playing, enjoying, like that mother. Can't have a beginning. He could not, impossible for Him to start loving when you became obedient. God's love, along with everything about God, had no beginning, therefore no end. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Do you honestly believe His love is that weak, fragile, or flimsy, and is as unpredictable as the weather? If you honestly believed God was like that, and you didn't want to end up in hell, you would live in constant fear and great bondage of losing His love. And you couldn't do enough. You would always be wanting to do more so that you can be certain of the love of God. You can't lose it, but not in the heart of God can it be developed and grow to a different degree. That's impossible. That'd mean God was changing. But you, as an obedient, serious child of God, you can have more of His heart revealed to you. More of His kindness made known. You could be as John, striving to get so close to Him that it would be said of you how He loved him or how He loved her. Do you see the coldness of the day we're living in? And the lukewarmness that even abides within our own hearts. It is no wonder that we know so little about the love of God. Now turn back with me to John 15. John 15:15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. Is it not said of Abraham, in his obedience to the command of God, is it not said of Abraham that he was the friend of God? Is it not said here of those 11 disciples, you are my friends? That relationship, this is the last one I'll deal with, between the Lord and His children is as His love. That relationship is as eternal as God Himself. Therefore, since God had no beginning, God had no ending, nothing about God can change. Now, since God is unchanging, that means everything about Him is unchanging. I don't think you might be one. I know I'm going to get some backlash from this. I don't think you would be one. I hope you've matured enough. For there will be those that say, I ought not to teach these truths, because man will abuse God's kindness, God's friendship, God's love, God's mercy. That is true. You can. But instead of the fact that God cannot change, it does not have that impact upon me so as to make me careless or indifferent to my Lord. It does right the opposite. How could I have such a friend and grow lukewarm? How under heaven could the Holy Son of God bring me into His family, love, and then, well, if you put love and friendship together, my, what a bond that is. Shall I abuse that? Shall I go carelessly through the day unconcerned about my friend, the Lord Jesus? Be like Joseph with his coat in Potiphar's wife's hands running out saying, how can I do this great wickedness against God? How? Because Christ is who He is. Because Christ loves as He loves, and that's unchanging. I'll never, never take liberty to do anything to harm my relationship as a child, as a friend, as a part of the bridegroom. But here's another point to be made. I can only recognize the Lord as a friend if... Now go back to verse number 14. I read 15 to you. John 15:14. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. That seems like the friendship of Christ is dependent upon my obedience. No, again, it's not. But if I am an obedient child, it will bring an awareness of I have a friend in glory. That's Almighty God. I dare not willfully do something where I might, instead of looking upon a friendly face when I go to pray, I might be looking upon a frowning Lord Jesus. I do hope that there's some clarity in what I'm saying so that you can't abuse or misuse. God's heart was set upon a people from all eternity, from all ages beyond ages. And it was upon a people before any of those ever got here. Now, time nor circumstances cannot change who God is and how God feels towards His children. If God could lose any of these, His love, His mercy, grace, His kindness, His long-suffering. Let me not put in there, Luke. If these things could just diminish a degree, as God looks at a disobedient child, or an unfaithful child, these things diminish. That would make God to be something less than what He was. And if I am deliberately misunderstood that a man can sin because the heart of God can't change, I hope God will break your leg if you're doing that willfully. I did not. I never will. But I don't want you living in bondage. Afraid to make another step. It is impossible for God to be anything other than He is. Although I do not live in an awareness of His attributes, day upon day, all my waking hours, no more than I live each day in the light of the sun out there. You say, doesn't that bother you? Are you not afraid that you've lost part, some, all of His attributes? Well, if I know of an outstanding sin in my life, and I continue on in that sin, it simply means I never have had His love, or His mercy, or His friendship manifest to me. The fact that God cannot change in the midst of our changing world, and changing for the worst, lawlessness, wickedness, abounding. Murder, all these things. When you go out into the world, you see them. But I've got this rock. It is called He is called Christ. He is unchanging. And if I've ever had His love made real to me, I'll strive day after day for a greater manifestation. Now, that's not always going to be. It's just God's not going to permit it. But I will quote you this, Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. If I want Christ making me aware of His relationship as a friend, as a companion, then I to him must show myself friendly. And David said, when David and his household were fleeing from Absalom, leaving the palace, David sent Hushai back. He said, you don't go with me, you go and you become a servant to my son. And you can keep me updated. And when Hushai got there where Absalom was, Absalom looked at him and said, is this thy kindness to thy friend? Absalom, a wicked man. And yet he knew you don't do that to your friend. If he ever was your friend, you don't betray him. So let us, dear children, let us, when our walk gets a little careless, when our life ceases just a little in dedication, remember, is that my kindness to my friend? Shall I wound afresh and anew the Son of God? You just don't do these things to your best friend. You live with their interest at heart. I don't want to be like Thomas. Christ said, okay, Thomas, if you've got to have proof, thrust your hand in my side. Reopen the wound. Those in my hands. Because I don't want you to be unbelieving. Whatever's necessary, I want you to find out about my love. May the Lord help us, children, and give you a better understanding of what I tried to say today.